self-deprecating. Oh, it says it's live. I think you made it.
All right. We're in. We're in despite. Oh, there it goes. See, it just showed on mine. It just showed.
That's good.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Yep.
There we go.
We're in. All right. Yeah. Hey, look, we even have three people, Joe.
All right.
How special are we?
All right, excellent. Hey guys, happy Easter. He is risen.
He is risen. We'll let folks kind of jump on for a minute. We're joining from different locations today because Joe must cook the Easter ham. And that's an important job. So
that's right. That's right.
You guys have probably never seen this. For those of you that are curious, you know, I miss looking at your faces because look at what I have to look. This is my congregation right here. Every week, just a big empty room and cameras. So,
you know, Ben, I saw a few churches were printing up pictures of the congregation and putting them in the seats. And we haven't gotten that advanced yet.
No, we haven't. I wouldn't mind though. If you want to send in some photos of people you think I should preach to. Sometimes the worship team is nice. We have a social distancing audience area laid out here, you know, 10 feet apart. It's really over the top. And sometimes the worship team is nice and they'll come listen and like, you know, say amen and stuff, which is kind of cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it looks like we got about 20 people. Pastor Jason's not going to be able to join us today. He had to, he just had to be Pastor Jason, and he's okay. His family's okay, but he needed to go and be available to care for somebody this morning. And so we love Jason. That probably means, Joe, this is going to be even more unfiltered than normal, which is a little scary.
I know he's like our governor a little bit, you know, only lets it go so far.
He definitely tempers us without a doubt. Without a doubt, there's definitely some like healthy Jason buffer. I love how Luann said, I'm making dinner and I thought this would make it entertaining.
I know, and I said, same here.
We can only hope, Luann. We can only hope. Oh man, you guys are so nice. Thanks for saying such nice things. It's a good service today. It's good to proclaim Jesus. Joe, I saw online something really cool while we're just kind of getting people on in New York. I don't know how it went. Somebody shared that they're doing this New York Easter 2020 thing, and they shared a liturgy that everybody was supposed to go on their balconies and like proclaim Christ is risen, and then they were going to sing in all their neighborhoods Christ the Lord is risen today.
Oh, cool.
Isn't that cool? I saw Tim Keller shared it, so I thought it must be legitimate.
did you see the one where the vicar was riding around neighborhoods in London on his bike and he had a loudspeaker?
No.
And he was singing it, like, comment if you saw this. He was riding around neighborhoods and singing Amazing Grace and like sharing the gospel in different neighborhoods, different streets.
Come on.
And so people would come out and lean out their window, and it was pretty awesome.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Well, happy Easter to you, friends. And Joe and I are not going to probably run around your neighborhood, but we love you, and Pastor Jason loves you. He just can't be with us this morning. And we'd love to know, since food has kind of become centric to our time together, what's cooking? I was just talking, like, what do you do during, when you can't have big Easter dinner as a family? You know, I don't even know what we're having for lunch. I'm sure it's delicious, but what's cooking? Are you able to show us what's cooking in your kitchen, Joe? That's quite
it.
On the Joe cooking tour.
Yeah, this is going to be kind of real time. This is what typical what's going on in my kitchen.
Here we go.
So I'm always doing just kind of experimenting with stuff, you know. And so I'm gonna try and get a shot of this. This is maybe something that you guys haven't seen before. Okay. This is this is a sous vide. And if you look, right there, you see that ham down in there? There's a ham in there. And you cook it at a certain temperature. And what it is a water bath, and it keeps it at an exact temperature. And then you get it super hot in the oven and then glaze it. And so I'll do like steaks. I'll do like steaks like this, and you always got to finish it. But it's just in a water bath at 140 degrees. And yeah, it's kind of wild, but.
Sous vide, that's French, right? Typical.
French. Yeah, it's French. So what it is because I know everybody's going to be asking. And whether you want to know or not, I'm going to tell you. It's like this technique that they used to use in restaurants to keep food at certain temperatures to keep it safe, safe to eat. So like any nice steakhouse that you go to, like super nice steakhouse, they sous vide a steak to a certain degree, and then they finish it in a super hot pan on the oven. That's it. That's how they do it. That's the secret. And so sous vide maker does that kind of thing. It helps you control temperature really tightly. So that's what I'm making. What else we got?
This has been What's Cooking with Joe. And if we were more high tech, we'd have a segment that plays a little song and does a graphic right now. Dude, I love it. Everybody's talking about their lunch. Jono's having pancakes and chicken sausage. I like that. See, you can get creative when it's quarantine. Let's see, venison on the grill. Is it sunny out? I think it's
okay here and there.
Yeah. Ooh, deep fried ham. I'm a fan of that idea.
Deep fried ham. Oh,
when I lived in the South,
I don't think I've ever had that.
When I lived in the South, man, I don't know if you all know that I used to live in North Carolina, and which I know is not like deep, deep South, but trust me, it's more Southern than Michigan. And every holiday was an occasion to fry something. So Thanksgiving, fried mac and cheese, Easter, fried chicken. Oh, it's so good.
Is fried mac and cheese? What is that?
Oh yeah. Oh, you can fry mac and cheese. You know, in the little balls. I remember somebody had that.
Oh yeah, I have had that.
Fried deviled egg. This is super tangential, but you know my favorite chicken places, Bojangles. Have you ever been to a Bojangles?
I've been to a Bojangles, actually.
How do you feel about it?
Okay.
You won't hurt my feelings.
No. So there's like the fight between the Bojangles. Is it Church's?
Yeah.
And like KFC, was that the three?
Popeyes. But Popeyes. Just for the record, it's not really a fight. But yeah, you're right.
And kind of Chick-fil-A, I suppose. But so Bojangles is your favorite. Why is Bojangles your favorite?
Well, Bojangles is like, it's a little grittier. It's a little realer.
It is a little grittier.
It's so I remember when I lived in East North Carolina, my local Bojangles, they have first of all, the biscuits are good. This is super unhealthy, but since we're all cooking and talking food, we'll talk about it anyway. So they would do this thing called a cheddar bow biscuit, which was just their regular, like, you know, Southern biscuit. And they'd slap a chunk of cheddar cheese in the middle, and they'd throw the whole thing in the fryer, and it would come out like all melted and cheese sandwich, and as a delicious pleasure.
That's hilarious. So I okay, since this is now we're on tangential. So I would
what else are we here to do?
I'd have some pride. I had a project that I was in McCalla, Alabama. If you ever watched, do you remember I think it was called Hoover High. It was like where the high schoolers. It was like there was like a show on MTV way back when, and Hoover High was in McCalla, Alabama. And so in McCalla, Alabama, they had Bojangles everywhere. They had Bojangles and Popeyes and all that sort of stuff. And I remember like I would go there by myself because it was just traveling by myself. So I'd go there. I'd go to work and they'd always want to go to Bojangles for lunch. Like every day we go to Bojangles for lunch. So I'm well acquainted with the Bojangles.
I feel like you probably haven't seen the light though, just the way you're telling the story.
Oh, no. Okay. No, I'm not opposed. I mean, it's like getting A&W in the food court.
Like, for sure.
It gets the job done. You
know? Yeah. It's not fine dining, but I feel like probably like everything, I've overly romanticized it, especially since I've been away from it. That's true.
I have a story about that. So Ben, one quick story.
Go.
Ben, I don't know if you're going to get this one, but I think I've told you this story before. Friends, for those of you that grew up in Michigan, you remember the three-word restaurant that I'm about to say, okay? Hot in now. You remember this?
I've heard this story 20 times, Joe. Oh, my gosh.
Hot in now. There is one Hot in now still open, and it is in, I think it's in Coldwater or Sturgis. It's in Sturgis. And you know how you have these nostalgic feelings within you that are like, oh man, I remember getting a bag of burgers for $2 and everything like that, a big Coke and everything. I recently, probably in the last few years, 2-3 years ago, went to the Sturgis one. And let me tell you, it's all in your head. It was awful.
You need to know, like, the heart's blown up right now. Like, I don't know if you see that in the corner, bro. Yeah. People are blown up hot now. You've definitely, you've hit a vein.
If Kevin Houseman's got it. It's in front of, you know, it's in front of Kroger. I'm telling you, do yourself a trip. If you want to blow up a childhood bubble of nostalgia, go down to Sturgis and get
Who would want to do that? That sounds terrible. Just blow up your nostalgia. So Zach is on here repping Texas, and we all know that Texas has better fried everything, so he's probably not wrong. Zach, if you're watching, first of all, thank you for being awesome and helping lead our team.
Hey, man. I am very curious. Give some love for Zach.
I feel like this is an important Texan question from my Texas friends. Are you Whataburger or In-N-Out? Do you have strong feelings? Personally, I think there's no competition, but I never lived in Texas, so Whataburger.
In and out. Well,
obviously, but wait. Let's see what Zach says. Oh, he's probably gone. He's probably uploading video or something. Jono asked, he said, Pastor B, my girlfriend is a big J.D. Greer listener. I like to hear that. I, you know, there's not a lot of Baptists I listen to, but he's a favorite of mine. And he's in Raleigh. That's West North Carolina. I was out east near the Outer Banks in a little town called New Bern, which isn't far from, like, I know our youth group has gone to Swansboro to serve before. It's not far from there. And that's also, if you remember the hurricane most recently, I remember seeing downtown on TV and going, oh, I know that. Yeah, I was out there too. I was a worship leader at a church out there. We never heard, the Olive Burger, Scott.
Oh, no, Zach says Whataburger.
Where is he? I don't see it. Your comments must be better than mine.
Yeah, Zach says Whataburger.
See, they all say that. And Zach, I've had Whataburger and I feel about as strong about it as Joe feels about Bojangles. Like, it just doesn't. I've had it. I just, in the double-double, I mean.
Know what, though? I feel like that's an equivalent to, like, our Culver's, you know? Like, I mean, I know it's not ours, it's Wisconsin's, but let me throw this out there. What about cat out of the bag? What about Portillo's? Have you been to Portillo's in Chicago? Oh. I know, Ben, you have.
Well, yeah.
I wonder if our listeners have gone to Portillo's in Chicago.
What is, while we wait to hear, what is Pizza Square? Is that a Michigan thing?
Pizza Square. Is that like the pizza that you get it out of garbage? Okay. You guys crack me up.
Hold on. Zach, I'm on the church account. How do I do this? No, I don't want to like that.
Zach says In-N-Out is hot garbage.
I'm trying to make an angry face from the church account.
I'm just liking it. You're just racking up likes now for In-N-Out is hot garbage.
Oh, even, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to hide that post. Censorship at its finest. How's that for draconian?
Kevin says that in South Bend there's a Portillo's. Is that true? Do I not know this?
No, there is.
Oh my gosh, that's not that far away.
Yeah. Yeah, we. That's
Mr. Fables trip. Olive Burger.
I am a big Olive Burger fan. Can we go back to Portillo's though? Because you're making me feel like home. Every time my parents live in Northern Illinois, you know, Portillo's is franchise and stuff. And so on the way to the highway to come home to Michigan, there is a Portillo's on the way. And God bless my amazing wife. This is probably not good for my health. Every time we visit, she knows we're going. She like, we'll plan our leaving time to drive through Portillo's. Cake
Cake
shake.
Dude, when we're ripping through, cake shake. That's right. I remember you telling me that.
You've never had through, it?
Like, No. I think I tried one. I don't think I ever had one myself. But yeah, that's super delicious.
Ashley says the pizza square was next to the Hot and Now in Portage. So,
and it was called Pizza Square. I don't remember that. A lot of love for your Olive Burger out there, Ben. I feel like that's a very Michigan thing, an Olive Burger.
I don't think I had one until I visited Michigan, actually.
There you go.
I feel like you got to get the spread right. I'm not a cook. I love olives, though. And you got. I feel like I don't know what goes in it, but you got to get it right.
Yeah. I would also like to point out that Kevin, way up in the comments, said Ban Marie. Or a Bon Marie, which is like a way of baking in water when I was talking about sous vide. So, wow. Well done.
There's a lot of foodies that pipe into this thing.
I know. And they, see, look at Jen Ritzma. She's Portillo's the best. There you go.
Jen, are you a troll? That's what the Trinity mascot is, the trolls. I think we got some Trinity grads in the church. Yeah. See, Jen, I'm sure knows Faith Church because Trinity is like 30 minutes away. Palos. Nice place to visit.
Hey, Ben, quick share a little bit about some of the other stuff that we have kind of added into our daily rotation or weekly rotation. So this is being recorded. She says my daughter's a troll. This is being recorded, and we share this and then also share about the blog.
Yeah, absolutely. What we're trying to do is create lots of content because as was said in the sermon, it's the new normal. We all got a lot of time and, we want to make some usable stuff. So I don't know how usable this is, but Sunday, what we've done when the pastors, excuse me, that was a coffee hiccup. I just been like, I've been dying to drink coffee. This is our podcast apparently. And this will be up later if you missed it live, just us being silly on Sunday, with Jason. And then Tuesdays, I think we're posting that as well. So if you go to the website, you can, corinthreform.org, the podcast is up there. You can listen back if you need a laugh. Also, we do try and at least bury a nugget of informational treasure every time we do this. So even within this, sous vide and all the crazy stuff, we try and tell you things are going on. But there's that. Yeah, and we're also blogging now. I don't know if you all saw it. We had our first blog last week. That's right on the front page as well. You can still do what the blog says, by the way. I was encouraged by a friend had shared the idea for Holy Saturday, kind of taking a break from tech, as you know, mentioned the screen time report, which I don't know if Apple does this on purpose. My iPhone, man, it always comes at like middle of 9 o'clock service, which is the worst because it's like every single week we'll be just getting into worship when we're gathered. And then I get this buzz and I'm like, oh, yeah.
It's like this time for repentance.
Is that when yours comes too?
Yeah.
Apple doesn't know that's the Lord's Day, man. Come on. Screw it up. That has nothing to do with this. So yeah, we're doing that. What else am I missing? What other content? Anything?
We have the blog. So we're going to be sharing content there, and just kind of our thoughts about what's going on. And you guys should know too, because you know, like Ben said, you're getting the nuggets. You guys should know too that we're thinking about what these things look like post Corona, you know, like after Corona, like, yeah. Wednesday prayer streaming. What does the blog look like? What does this podcast medium, Facebook Live, mishmash look like? We're thinking through all those things because, you know, a lot of people have said that they value this time, and which we humbly accept and appreciate. and so we want to continue connecting and providing good content. So. Yeah, if you like, feel free to comment, email what any ideas. We've had people do that. So keep them coming.
I'd love to hear also, speaking of kind of innovation and trying new things, who was able to participate in Good Friday worship? How did your communion go? Did you bake the bread? That's a little food tie-in right there. That's a great bread recipe. And made some. It was really good. We'd love to hear how Good Friday went, friends. I don't know. It's the weirdest week ever, Joe, but it's still been really meaningful, and and to be able to celebrate together. And I probably watched about 5 different church Easter services yesterday. It was just crazy. It's kind of cool though. At the same time, what's hitting you as you think about Holy Week 2020 online? Any thoughts you've had?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's obviously unprecedented. And, you know, like I said, when I was just kind of sharing my reflections on Good Friday, was that it's unlike anything we've had in the last 100 years, at least. And you know, 100 years being the 1918 flu pandemic, where things were a little wild like this too, but they didn't have this medium at that time. And so, you know, when I think about this particular week, I think about the blessing it is to be able to do this and to stay connected in this way, and to think about how much life is different now and how much life is going to be different in 100 years from now. So, you know, what was cool though is the tie-in that you had with Dionysius today of Alexandria, you know, where this plague came through, and I'm trying to remember, but I think that was similar to a type of Ebola, because when I was doing my research, I came across a little bit of that too.
And it's kind of all conjecture, but yeah, something bad killed a lot of people.
Something bad. And so when I think about that, I think about, you know, 20 to 50% fatality rate for Ebola, you know, and I think, wow, like, I'm super thankful that the fatality rate is low, but at the same time, it's you know, 10 times higher than seasonal flu, and so I'm at the one side thankful that we have this history of healthcare, of caring for the sick, and like Jesus taught us, and on the other side, it's just so sad what we see going on in our nation and affecting us, you know, even really close to home. And so it's this weird already not yet hope, but also thankfulness. I guess that's what I've been wrestling with this whole week.
Yeah, it's really good, man. And it's interesting. I think that's a common theme that's kind of come up this week, that the church has been through this before. And the church has historically, you know, you talked about hospitals on Friday, which I love and appreciate. I've got to go to Oman a couple years ago. This was for school. So I'm not a baller. I don't just get to go places, but the whole reason there's any Christian presence at all, which there's really not, it's officially a Muslim state in Oman, is because the RCA, our RCA, built the first hospital and basically helped the country modernize. And I was thinking about that when you were sharing that on Good Friday, that, that forever, that whole as the Father sent me, so I send you reality has just been a calling card of the church. And, you know, it feels important now to recognize that, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it's just such a good reminder in this time to go back into our roots as Christians about what drives us, you know, caring for the sick and caring for the poor and the marginalized. And that is what is increasing around us every single day. And so we're quickly leaving this Christian bubble of comfort, and whether we chose it or not, it's upon us. And it's been a really sobering it's been a sobering week. You know, it's been a sobering week, but it's been a week filled with hope in the gospel, the eternal living hope that we have. So you reflected that great in your sermon today, and thanks, bro. It's just good to be in the Lord's presence with all of you. So,
yeah, it is. It is kind of, it's an Easter with some lament, and yet that kind of makes it sweeter in a way that, I don't know, it's unexplainable, but that's just what it is. Well, I know you got the ham sous vide. I know Everybody's cooking. We won't make this too much longer, but we do want to open up just an opportunity. Friends, do you have any reflections on this morning, your experience kind of quarantine worship from home? How did John 20 hit you? You know, like what stuck out to you in that short little passage? Joe, it's just you and me, so we can start and go first. But I'll go first. Because there's no room to kind of stick all the stuff in the sermon, obviously, and there's a lot that needed to be said. But you know, one of the things that's kind of been really just encouraging me and challenging me during this time, where you know, I've experienced my own fear, is in verse 20, where they talk about how the disciples saw his scars and were glad. And you know, like, this is kind of behind the scenes, but the go-to you know, John commentary is D.A. Carson's commentary. You know, he writes, he's Gospel Coalition chair or whatever, and I say that only because people ask all the time, like, for commentaries, and that happens for you too. They're like, what should I read? I want to go deeper. If you want a really great commentary in the Gospel of John, you can make devotional. It's not inexpensive, like most textbooks, but it's a great commentary. Maybe you can get it on Kindle. But he has this line in there, I think he quotes somebody else, and he says that Jesus's scars are the credentials to his humanity. And I thought that just everything rings so different right now. And it's like, he suffered too, as we suffer in our fear and our sickness. And that, you know, like, we focus on the resurrection at Easter, obviously, but it's easy to, it's just easy to, you know, lose sight of his humanity on this earth and how much he understands what we're going through. That's kind of what's been resonating with me. What about you, man?
Yeah, I'm just going to riff on that, add to that a little bit. One thing that I've been kind of sharing with my boys, as we, even this morning, we read the story out of their Bible, Jesus Storybook Bible. And, you know, in that story, in the pictures, he has nail holes in the actual pictures. And I love that they remind us that even in these children's Bibles, they make it a point, they being the authors, I guess, they make it a point to include that even in the illustration. Because one thing that I think about a lot, this is weird, but when we get to the heavenly Jerusalem, when we are there in the presence of the Lord, when all things are made new, that we are going to be made new, made perfect the way that we were created to be made, but he's still going to have those scars. Mm-hmm. He's still going to have the scar on his side. And just as a visible, tangible reminder of the sacrifice. And that's not to shame us. That's not to make us sad or, you know, for pity. It's because he's triumphed. He comes in power. Yeah. And so he died one death, and he's going to come back. And I just think it, the scars, the nail holes, as I reflect on what you said today, Ben, it's one of triumph. And and so, yeah, it just gave me a lot of hope listening to that today.
Let's you brought it up, and I'm so glad you did. I know a lot of families that we know love the Jesus Storybook Bible. I would say it's a good Bible for anybody. It's fun to hear you guys talking about reading that. Yeah, go get it. As he does that, you know, it's what's nice about it. It was given to us as a baptism gift when we baptized our son Reuben, and it's a really gospel-centric Bible. And it's actually, I'll just be the first to say, I use it as a commentary sometimes. because it's like, it gets to the heart of like, what is the gospel? And I don't know if you guys read the Good Friday stuff. It wrecks me. I was sitting there listening to Ann share it with Reuben and Abigail. It's so powerful. You got one in front of us? Are we gonna have a special guest come on our show?
That's the Good Friday one, right?
Yeah.
And then hey Abe, you wanna be on the show?
Tell Abe Pastor Ben says get on this thing.
Pastor Ben says get on this thing, Abe. Come here. He says never. There's a
shows you what Pastor Ben gets you, nothing. Oh yeah, that's so good.
So anyway, it's just Jesus Storybook Bible. You know, again, it's just pointing the whole Bible points to Jesus, right?
Well, and like shout out to our Corinth Kids people. That's something they are always talking about. That, you know, Bible stories as we teach them to our kids and our grandkids and our friends and our neighbors' kids and nieces and nephews and stuff. The point isn't like, here's how to be a good person. The point is Jesus was good for us. And I love how it takes some of those, you know, Old Testament stories and it ends with a note of, okay, but here's how this connects to Jesus. And it's just so helpful with kids, isn't it?
Ben, can I circle back to just to bring that full circle? Sally Lloyd-Jones, who's kind of the editor, author of it, you know, she learned a lot of what she had kind of, how she interpreted the scriptures and as she was growing as a believer, you know, where she learned it, right? Ben, do you know this story?
No, I don't know the story.
She went to Tim Keller's church,
Redeemer.
Yeah, Redeemer. Yeah. In New York. Oh, yeah. So there you go, Ben.
I love that. Yeah, I mean, she's an amazing writer. Just even the way that she paraphrases the text is just beautiful. And that's so good. I saw you replied to Christy, but as a quick, as we're getting ready to go here, maybe just a quick promo. Thursday was awesome. And one of the things we're trying to do right now is really live into the "as the Father sent me, so I send you good news." And you know, I want to be clear for those who are watching. You know, we're not proposing let's all go be martyrs like Diaconus is saying. Now, who knows what the future brings? But it's in that same spirit that I think God has called us to make tangible right now. Our profession that Jesus is alive and that he's brought peace into the world. And so, I mean, Joe, you were a part of it. We had 35 folks on that call. It was really, if anything, at the very least, it'll be a great way to extrovert in the middle of the week. You can email Amy. I see your post in there. She'd love to give you the link. We're going to keep talking. We kind of nailed down a couple things. Some of the key ones, just to summarize, let me know if I miss any. Yeah. We just talked about first and foremost kind of the importance of listening, that we don't want to prescribe needs without actually hearing from people. But then we did, you know, Christy mentioned face masks, huge need. I think we're starting to mobilize around some of that. We have some materials we can use for that here. And what else did we talk about? I'm trying to remember.
So we had the masks and gowns. What are the PPE needs? We talked about what does funding look like? Is there a designated fund, for instance? And what does funding look like in general to care for not just this crisis, but future crises? How do we be a hub for connecting people, connecting services? And then, you know, part of that, one thing that Pastor Chris Hall of Elevation Church, who's been worshiping with us, one thing that he mentioned was all of that's good, but it starts with listening. What are the needs? What are the needs in our community? And that doesn't just mean Reformed Church, it means where are the needs in the community around us and at the hospitals and at Metro Health, and you know, what does that look like?
So good. So join us Thursday. Okay, we're not slowing down. We got a whole calendar of things. Wednesday prayer, Thursday conversation. Real quick, also before we go, let me make sure I last time I tried to do this, I got the link wrong. But I'm gonna do it anyway. Let's talk about James really quick. So we're jumping into our James series. I think if you click that link, Joe, you can test for me if that works. It takes you to a resource page.
Yep.
Did it work?
Yep.
Okay, good. That brings you to the resource page, and it was mentioned briefly when you and Pastor Jason did the announcements, but we're going to be spending well into the summer in the week of James. It's an awesome book. The backstory most people don't know is our staff got together. Oh gosh, Joe, I can't remember. It must have been last summer, think. And we have all those glass plates upstairs in the hub, you know, to keep like children from falling to their deaths. So, which is a good thing that I'm thankful for. Yeah. And adults to keep anybody from falling. And we use them as whiteboard markers. We had this big sort of brain sort of dump, like what did God's people at Corinth and beyond need to hear? And one of the questions you facilitated for us, led us through was, you know, if we're going to look at some books of the Bible, what are some key ones? And we came up with an Old Testament one and a New Testament one. And the Old Testament one was Micah. The New Testament one was James. And we were saving James really until the end of the year. But it's funny, both have a focus on justice and faith kind of embodied. Well, the Bible focuses on that, which we forget a lot. But, you know, we thought it'd just be fitting, like with everything going on, to move some things around and jump into James because it's so actionable. So the point is, go to that link. We have purchased a few, I don't know what to call them, Joe. They're like scripture journals.
Yeah.
So side by side, ESV, you can mark them up if you want. Great way to write notes. And I don't remember what we're selling them for, but I know we're just selling them at cost. And at that link, you can
get $5.
At $5, they're really cool. They look really nice. If you want to make the most out of your journey in James with us over the next several weeks and months, I'd encourage you to get one, or you can just order one online if you want. They're just the Crossway ESV James Scripture Journals. And we'll find a way for you to be able to pick them up here at the church. And then you'll have a great set of notes as we go through it. Also, we're going hard with small groups. So Wednesday night, Pastor Jason wants us to share that. Wednesday night is regular small group gathering, 6:30. You can email him, get a link. We're trying to be good with cybersecurity. That's smart. So we can't post the link. We'll share it to you, though. I know you had a big group last week, and so we have the ability to break that group into smaller groups. Brian is asking, where do we pick up the book? I think you know more about the process than I do. Can you talk about it?
We'll set up times. I just commented with him. We'll set up times to get them in the vestibule, get them at the building. We'll figure out a way to get them to you depending on what's best for everybody. So, awesome. Yep, we're working on that right now. So we do have them last time I checked. And we'll figure out a way to get them to you. Most likely it'll be pick up in the vestibule, kind of in between the doors and the office.
Okay. Awesome. Hey, Joe, any final thoughts from you, man? What would you want to leave us with?
Sorry, I'd like to unmute first. Hey, I guess what I'm thinking is, this is a time, and this is what I've been reflecting on. This is a time that's going to define a lot of who we are in our lives and in this generation of how we respond to a crisis. And it's a crisis of healthcare, and it's a crisis of caring for others. And so, you know, one thing that I think is easy to do is to look at it and to get tired of being cooped up in the house and being cooped up, maybe with our families a little bit. You might be able to hear my boys are currently watching Disney Plus, I think. So Disney Plus sales have gone through the roof.
What are you watching? What are they watching? Star Wars?
Watching Up.
We were watching Up is good.
But you know, I think that's something that is really easy just to get fatigued. And I would just say, let's just keep going with being steadfast in the face of adversity, especially over these next few weeks. Steadfast in the living hope we have in Christ, and steadfast with each other, and showing grace to each other, because you know what, we're going to make mistakes, we're going to screw this thing up, we're going to at times lose our patience, and at times screw up how we do work, and screw up even caring for people. So let's have grace with each other and be patient.
Joe, that's a really good word, man. I appreciate you know, I feel like this season is making us all deep thinkers, I hope, giving some time for reflection You know, our staff read a book at the end of last year and talked about how transformation happens in the midst of reflection. And I know that's something that we try and embody together, and hope you all are experiencing that. That's really good. Yeah, I don't know if I have anything deep. I'm still kind of thinking about Zach trashing In and Out, and I'm a little offended personally. But I'll get over it, Zach. You know, I love you, man, and it'll be okay. But hey, I really hope you all take Easter and make it meaningful today. I really, you know, I know it's different. I know it's weird. I saw just the comments about, you know, on Facebook and stuff. I wish I was there. I wish we could be together. Speaking of being together, we have an extra guest. Hang on.
Oh, guest. All right.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. How do I let him in? Oh, hey, there he is. Oh, I was worried. I was worried I just hung up. Look who's here. What a treat. Or look whose name is here, at least. Oh, hey!
Matthew, Jason.
I was missing that teal archway. I know you're still connecting to audio. It's okay, Jay.
That teal archway.
That teal archway. I just feel so much calmer. I just feel at peace now that Jason's
here. Yeah, there we are.
I want you to know, Jay, because you weren't here, we had a extended conversation about fried chicken and then hot.
I can't hear you. My audio's.
You can't hear me at all? Oh, well, this is funny.
All right, well, you just talk then, but he can't hear us.
Yeah, you just talk. Hold on, I'm texting you. Hang on. This is awesome.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can't hear you guys. I can't hear you.
Turn your audio. One second.
I got it. I just had to connect and disconnect.
Oh, he's here? All right. While you're doing that, I'm going to answer a couple questions. Carrie, Luann, love you guys. Absolutely sharing the peace found in Jesus alone. Hey, and then Jono said, did we postpone 2020 Vision Series in partnership with Elevation? Just curious. Ben, while Jason is getting connected there, 2020 Vision and Elevation, go.
Yeah. Yeah. So the long story short is we are just going to want to do that together as much as possible. That's a really big thing. But we had that whole thing ready to go, actually missed the weekend because of stuff that happened in our world that I was talking about during the sermon. And our hope and prayer, this is kind of, I don't want to go as far as calling it prophetic because I'm not a prophet, nor the son of one. But I work for a nonprofit. You like that? I've heard that joke before. I've always wanted to tell it. That was super lame. I'm sorry. That was like dad humor. That's not usually my job. Jono, our hope, our plan, our prayer is that this fall, Lord willing, we'll return to some semblance of normal. We'll talk all about it because we're dreaming big dreams. And Jono, if you want an inside scoop, it was Jono who asked, right?
Yeah.
I was so worried about Jason's audio. I was just really distraught, couldn't pay attention. Inside scoop for kind of some things we're doing. We're going to be connecting with Pastor Chris this week on our Thursday morning Zoom call. So if you're working from home or whatever, tell him you got a meeting 10 a.m. with awesome people. So that would be good. What other questions we got, Joe?
I think that's good. I think the people want to hear from Jason now.
Jason, can you hear us now?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we heard you the whole time.
Oh, it was my headphones.
They were I heard all that stuff you said about Joe. I don't know if Joe heard you, but I heard it. So.
I only say good things about Joe.
Oh, that's right. Absolutely. Jason, here's what the people want to know. The people want to know, number one, what's your favorite fast food chicken place? Number two, how did your bread recipe go for Good Friday? And then I would say number three, what are your reflections on this week as a whole, Holy Week, as we're wrapping up?
You forgot Whataburger and In-N-Out. Like,
and do you like In-N-Out or Whataburger?
You get it wrong.
I've only ever had In-N-Out, so I'll go with In-N-Out.
Well, okay. Good.
Okay.
Hear that, Zach? And then, I hope you can hear me clapping all the way across the room. As far as
chicken goes, and this is when I was a youth pastor, we had a lot of a guy that we follow, Cool Carl, and he always calls Chick-fil-A the Lord's chicken. So I'll go with Chick-fil-A. It's the Chick-fil-A sauce that really makes it what it is. And then as far as the bread recipe goes, Joe, I'm gonna just gotta be really honest. We failed. We did not actually do the recipe because we were too delayed and I wanted to wait the 18 hours. So I cut up pieces of other bread. But we had a great communion together as a family.
Good.
And what was the third? What was the last question?
That was the one that actually is serious. So yeah. Holy Week reflections as we wrap up.
I don't know, for the time that I got to watch there's a couple things. So the time that we got to, that I got to do the live stream today before I had to go and visit someone, I was really lamenting the fact that we didn't get to do that in person. I don't know. There's something beautiful about Easter, singing what we sang together. But at the same time, it was beautiful because I could look around and just, it was just my family and we were all praising God. And so there's a lament and a yearning to be together, but it was just beautiful also just do it as a family. But as far as the kind of the Holy Week as I think the most probably special or kind of meaningful thing for me was I really took Wednesday as a time to prepare for Good Friday and Easter, and the live stream we did with worship and prayer. There is some sweet moments together with you guys and praying for our people and the greater community. So I just love that.
That's awesome, bro.
Thank More you questions that. That are getting shot.
What's happening?
I was just wondering if there was more questions that were popping up as I was talking. That's what Joe looking.
No, we're good. I would like to say In-N-Out is winning 100% our poll currently. This is a problem, guys, because I'm competitive. I mean, we all are. That's Lord help us. I feel really strongly about this. So,
what was your answer, Ben?
Oh, In-N-Out. Oh, I mean, yeah. Obviously. I do agree with you on Chick-fil-A is delicious. You missed there was a whole long thing about Bojangles chicken. You ever had Bojangles in your trips to the South?
I think once.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe reacted about the same.
Are you a Bojangles guy, Ben?
Says how many people have answered the poll?
We're not gonna. Those are internal metrics.
Internal metrics.
I think so far I've answered it.
No, I answered it.
Oh, well, there you go.
So all the important people have answered it.
yeah, you know, because if you ever wanted anybody else's opinion, who cares? hey, peace out, John. I love you, man. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks everybody for hanging out. I know we're way over time. Joe, sous vide, and meat. Jason, it was so, yeah. We have a segment now called What's Cooking with Pastor Joe. We're going to come up with music for it. It's great. It was good. But yeah, man, are you smoking some meat or what are you doing for lunch today, Jay?
No, I was watching the weather. So I didn't do anything, but we pulled out a ham and I put together a glaze for it. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it's still going to be tasty. We've had the meat you make. You got a visitor there, Jason?
There's I
pretty
do.
A special guest on the show. Oh, no.
Camry, you want to come up?
Camry, we're going to make
He's
it.
He's never dance. Shy.
Hi, Camry. Hey, did you lose a tooth?
You lose a tooth?
Yeah.
Awesome. Give him a big smile.
Yeah.
You look like a hockey player. I love it.
I love it. Well, guys, you know, Jason, I'm thinking about you said, you know, we didn't this morning get to hear the voices of each other. I think as we go, we should just end this way. Friends, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Risen indeed. Love you all. See ya. Have a great, great week. See ya.